On this Air Check episode, our guest is president and founder of Lori Lewis Media, Lori Lewis.
Lori's radio start was in Las Vegas. She tells us what she did to get to meet Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page, getting to be Boston's Bradley Delp's personal backstage guest at a show, her radio career progressions from the easy listening DJ to a rock renegade air personality, being part of the Bubba the Love Sponge morning show, and her moves to radio management, consulting, and opening her own social media consultancy.
Let's go.
Welcome to Air Check Season 2, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities, managers, consultants, owners, and your most humble hosts. Oh, God help them. From Philadelphia, Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly.
Hey, this is Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
Our guest on today's Air Check session is originally from Green Bay and has rocked and rolled her way through some of radio's greatest stations and cities around the country.
Sunny 106.5 Las Vegas, Rock 104 Mobile, Alabama, Tampa Bay's Thunder 105.5, and 98 Rock Tampa.
Today, she's known throughout the radio industry as a leader and innovator in the social media space.
Known on air in different radio cities as Lori Lloyd, Randy, Andy Summers, Anita Wadd,
to now founder and owner of Lori Lewis Media.
We're going to talk about something that I often will notice from brands in the social space, and that is maybe becoming desensitized. Perhaps we get caught up in the frenetic energy of the day-to-day, and we forget how powerful our words can be as they flow through the social media news feeds. What I'd like to talk about is how to always choose our words wisely, how to always come at content from the audience's point of view, how we can be that one entity that lifted somebody up and reminded them that they are not alone. That's the essence of the social space. And I want to be that reminder not to ever stray from what we're supposed to be doing, how to work from the inside out.
Please welcome Lori Lewis.
Thank you.
So, Lori, thank you for giving Paul and I some time here today for your Air Check session, your story in radio from air personality to media consultant today in the social digital space begins in Las Vegas some 28 years ago. But there's one point in time where you found yourself part of what soon became a national radio show, the Bubba the Love Sponge show out of Tampa, Florida on 98 Rock. How does that happen?
Well, I think the bigger picture was already in place, but I didn't know. When they had discovered me in Mobile, Alabama, that double entendre thing, I think that they were looking for a female very early on to match with Bubba the Love Sponge. You had to find somebody who wasn't going to be easily offended because this guy was off the charts. And so what I believe now in hindsight is they kind of found this girl from Green Bay, Wisconsin, kind of naive, but has a lot of fun with the fans, has a lot of fun with double entendre. And they came up to me one night, I don't know, maybe about a year into it, and said, look, we're going to make a big move. I think it was Marla and Seabass on 98 Rock. We're going to let the morning show go. We're bringing on Bubba the Love Sponge from WFLZ. We're bringing him on to do mornings on 98 Rock. And at first, I had the reaction that every rock fan does. What do you mean? He's top 40. You can't do that. You can't cross over top 40, you know. And they said, no. It's going to work. And it's going to work with the two of you. I said, okay. So they played me a couple of bits. And all my reaction was, oh my goodness, I don't think you can say that on the radio. Every time they played a bit. And they knew that lightning in a bottle was about to happen. Because you had a female who absolutely had a sense of humor and loved double entendre. Well, some of the stuff that I heard, I was like, oh, I don't think you could say that. And they're like, no, you can. So Bubba and I meet, and we hit it off like brother and sister instantly. And we had a great time. Look, when they put us all together, it was a shit show. And when they put us together, we were talking on top of each other. We were trying to one-up each other. Oh my gosh. It was Brad Harden. And remember, Brad Harden had just come from like WEBN Cleveland.
Program director.
Cincinnati, right? Thank you. He doesn't know. He hasn't had any of this. Here you have these like really loud type A personalities. It's bombing before it starts. So he sits us down, know your role, is what he said. And the fact was, Bubba was the star. It's the Bubba the Love Sponge show. Anita, you're not supposed to be as blue as Bubba. You're supposed to be that same person that we met when we talked about the show. Your first reaction, oh my goodness, I don't think you could say that on the radio. But then every once in a while, throw out a zinger. Like, he had to remind all of us on the show our roles. Once Brad Harden did that, it was, again, lightning in a bottle. It's something that you know you'll never recapture.
Look at Anita. She's all jacked up. Look at her.
Well, this really, this made me hot.
Now, Anita, I don't want no cat fight in the studio. I don't want you too
watching
far.
The Oscars. Remember some years ago, Ted Danson came out with a black face on, and there was a bunch of...
that wasn't at the Oscars.
By the way, Wells, you're live. Wells, you're in the mix of this hoopla right now.
Okay, so he came out with a black face on, and there was, like, big controversy because a white man was wearing a black face. Whoopi Goldberg came out at the Oscars.
With a white face on.
With a white face.
So what? Whoopi Goldberg is not black anymore.
It was fantastic. It was messy. It was, number one, we would fight. Sometimes physically, the guys with MJ and BJ at FLZ. Here's a great story. Cowhead, who was the producer, this is what they would do. I wouldn't know it because I was in my own kind of like co-host news space. So I never really knew too much about what the producers were doing. But Cowhead was so great. He would study what MJ and BJ were doing because we were now in the same building, Gandy Boulevard in Tampa. He would sit outside of the building and wait for MJ and BJ guests. And he would say, hi, I'm Froggy from MJ and BJ. Let me walk you to the show.
93.3 FLZ, the MJ and BJ show, 742, 18 away from 8 o'clock in the morning. More free stuff on the way, more Florida Aquarium tickets.
Here. And so these big name guests, they don't know better. Remember, we don't have the internet. They don't know what anybody looks like. They would walk them into Bubba's show, and Bubba would have the exclusive on all of these guests. And MJ and BJ would run down the hall and try to beat Bubba up. Those were some of the greatest radio war stories that I've ever heard or witnessed.
So how did Anita Wadd come into play? Was that part of Know Your Lane?
Pardon the pun. How'd she come into play?
After about a year when they were like, look, this is what we're doing. And I love that you asked that question, Rich, because a lot of people say, how did you agree to Anita Wadd? And, you know, at 25, there's no critical thinking, right? I mean, none. You go, okay.
Would that be wide with one D or two?
I don't even think I got it because when we first started, our sports guy, his name was Big Dick. And I would say, at the end of my news, I would say Anita Wadd, Big Dick coming, 98 Rock.
And the OJ Freak Show carries on. Not only is Simpson way over his head in debt, the latest is to the IRS, his bodyguard is about to write a book. Tom Gleason has decided to ditch the butcher to kiss and tell. Anita Wadd, Pete's coming, 98 Rock.
This Friday, Saturday, and they were like, you can't say that. So, you know, the whole name, I don't even really think, I wish I could say that I knew, I don't even really think I understood much of it because I just wasn't always really thinking as a 20. I just was a go with the flow person. Like, okay, yeah.
Anita Wadd flowing out of the speakers, 98 Rock.
Oh, but my headlines, I loved my headlines. They're, you know, for one example, Martin Giles did news on FLC, and I tried to emulate him all the time because I loved his style. One example of how I worked so hard on that, the first headline you would hear is this family, it was a shoplifting ring. For some reason, they were found not guilty. And my headline was, a bunch of dicks get off, you know, news in 30 seconds. And but you remember, you could do that. That was 1996?
The air check session. That's not a chore to sit through. At least we hope not. All kinds of radio recollections and characters welcome. We want your best and worst. Get your name on the AirCheck guest list. Email aircheckme@gmail.com to join Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly on AirCheck, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities.
As I mentioned, Vegas was where your radio career began, and we'll get into that. But you just referenced Mobile, Alabama. The Anita Watt alter ego worked for you on The Bubba Show. But when that big picture, as you put it, was being created as a result of your success at Rock 104 in Mobile, that hard-edged, tough chick image that you built there really helped your discovery. So talk a little bit about that image. Talk to us about Randy.
Greatest program director, one of the greatest program directors, I should say, I've ever had in my life, Andy Holt, said, "You shall be Randy," because the guy they were pairing me with is RC. And isn't that what we do in radio? Everything has to kind of rhyme or have the same first letters, like we like how I named my daughter, Carly Kearns. Like everything has to sound, you know, so pleasing. And so they said Randy because it rhymes with RC and Randy. And because there's a sexual metaphor to it. Like, and you know, when you're young, you're like, okay, gross, but okay.
Thanks, creepy PD.
Rock 104, the Gulf Coast of Rock and Roll Station. Neil Young getting deeper into everybody knows this is nowhere. Cinnamon Girl, Brian Adams, Lonely Nights, and live from their CD Throwing Copper, spent a couple nights with it. It's good stuff. Their first release, Selling the Drama. This is Randy. Rock 104 is
hitting
Bob's
Day. That was interesting. That was only 2 years. Again, going back to believing in fate, I really didn't like Mobile, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if they hear it, because, you know, I don't ever like when somebody says, I don't like Green Bay. But there was an element to the South that I was not ever exposed to, and I didn't like it. And here's where fate came in. I had a 2-year contract, and April 1st, April Fool's Day, what was it, 1993, was my first day. And my last day with a 2-year contract was March 31st, 1995. I was in and out. I made great friends that I still have to this day. But it's funny that I love Atlanta where I live now, because I swore I'd never live in the South again.
You had some fun interviews along the way. One of the people you got to talk to in your days at Rock 104 was Steve Perry.
Oh, and wasn't that great? Did you listen to that interview, and did you hear it only in one?
In one channel? Yeah, I've digitized it all for you. I'm going to give it to you.
Steve Perry's still with me, man. You sound like you're rocking more with You Better Wait as compared to Oh Sherry from Street Talk.
Well, it's definitely got some edge on it, but there's a lot of songs on this album. There's one with the Dallas Symphony and Tim Minor on piano, who I wrote the song with. It's called Missing You, and it's a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You might like it, Randy.
Oh, man, I love anything you do. I remember being a little kid listening to you. My brother actually got me turned on to you. Not physically, but musically.
Oh, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about now? There you go. There you go.
Listen, how have been things? How have been things?
Things have been pretty good. You know, I was in Journey for 10 years, and when I got to the end of the Raised on Radio tour, which ended at Anchorage, Alaska, I just had to stop, Randy. I needed a vacation.
Yeah, you know, there was rumors going around that you had lost your voice, that you were never going to return to rock again, that you were out in some foreign country trying to get that voice back.
Well, you know, there was a time that I didn't know if I was going to sing again, because emotionally I didn't know if I had the juice to do it. I don't know if it was much physically to do it with it as much as, you know, inside.
Mm-hmm.
There was rumors going around I had throat cancer for a while, too.
Yep.
But the truth is that my mom was very ill during the last 3-4 years of Journey of that 10-year run. And I was taking her from radiology clinic to radiology clinic. And they would see me sitting in the waiting room. They didn't know what my mom looked like, but they'd see me. They put two and two together, said something's wrong with his voice.
Yeah, well, the rumors flew. Hold on, Steve. We want to know a few more things about you, like, are you single? It's Randy with Steve Perry. We'll be back. Tom Petty, Rock 104.
So what's so weird about that is the guys that I was working with, I don't know technology. To this day, I don't know technology. You know, I study what triggers reaction, the psychology of the social space. I don't know technology. And so we're going back to what, 1994? And I was so excited. The guys were like, okay, Laura, you go do it on yourself. They let me do that interview, the whole interview, in what, like the right channel only or the left channel, whatever it was. I was mortified, but that was cool.
As we all know, legal departments today would never allow some of the things that we were a part of in the earlier days of radio promotions, right? Not to say that all of them crossed the line, but the very thought of taking a listener in the station van across state lines to meet a rock star, probably not going to fly, at least not in the van these days. But talk about that promotion you did that involved half of Led Zeppelin, I believe.
Yeah, so I forgot about the story. Thank you for bringing it up. So Page and Plant were reuniting 1994, unleaded. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
I don't even know how I even had it in me. I said to the late Charlie Ocean, how do I get a hold of these people? I got to interview Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. You remember being so young, I don't really understand how legendary these men are. And Charlie's like, good luck, kid. All I can give you is Bill Kerbishley's address. Remember, this is 1994. You have to actually write or type out a letter and, you know, lick the envelope and send it. All I can give you is his address. Good luck, kid, is all I remember him saying that. So who knows what I wrote? Like, dear Bill Kerbishley, my name is Randy. I'm on Rock 104 in Mobile, Alabama. What the heck? It's not LA. It's not New York. And I just had the belief that I should be the one to interview the guys as they kick off Unleaded in Pensacola. Pensacola Mobile, as you know, is kind of sort of one big market, even though they're separate. And wouldn't you know, weeks later, Bill Kerbishley, who's managing Page Plant, writes me back. No problem. I can get you with the guys on this date at this hotel, Pensacola. And I, no way. What you're referring to, which makes me laugh so hard, is the first thing that I thought of was not to bring a friend or a family member. There was a listener who always, always called during the whole lot of lunch. That was the feature at noon. And it was the riff of Whole Lot of Love. And I called, I don't even remember her name to this day. And I said, hey, I have to go down to Pensacola. I'm actually going to interview Page Plant. I'm going to be the first radio person to interview Page and Plant before Unleaded. Do you want to go with me?
Wow.
And she's like, are you crazy? And I said, yes. And I said, meet me at Rock 104. We'll jump in the van, which, by the way, was a piece of crap. You never know if you're going to make it to your destination. But we got in that van and we got there. Robert was not available, probably a little bit too much to drink, but Jimmy was there. Jimmy was great. He was so fun and funny, probably a little bit too much to drink. And I'll have to send you the picture, but he grabbed my butt in the end. And that was the gross part, right? Jimmy Page grabbed my butt.
This is an Aircheck Rewind, Season 2, Kid Chris.
I ended up sending in bits to Casey to see what would happen. And then one night, you know, because on the West Coast, Stern would air live from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., then they would start it over for drive time. I got a call at like 4 in the morning from the board ops screaming at me into the phone. He's like, Stern's playing your O.J. Simpson prank calls. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember jumping up and going, what? This is insane.
Aircheck, a podcast about radio's personality. From Radio Personalities, Seasons 1 and 2, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also listen on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Aircheck Podcast, or OK Google, play Aircheck Podcast.
Let's go back to the scene of the crime, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Where I grew up.
Yes.
You know, I mean, listening to WIXX, I cannot tell you guys how cool it was, and I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, how cool it was to grow up on WIXX.
100,000 watts of music power. Broadcasting live from Titletown, USA.
101 WIXX.
And then so many years later, go back home to Green Bay and end up serving that radio station in the social and digital space.
Wow, that's definitely full circle. Yeah. So with Green Bay in mind and growing up in that town and listening to radio and listening to that station specifically, as a kid, as a curious kid, was the radio direction something that you always wanted to pursue, either by listening to the station or outside of being a listener, or did something else kind of spark your interest?
Radio was always fascinating to me. My late father would tell you every time I got into the car, no matter what age, at a very young age and even into high school years, I had to control the radio. It was something I always had to control it. And so you have to believe that it's fate, even though I didn't really know what I wanted to do at 18. I really had no direction. You have to believe in fate and not coincidences. I met this guy. I still wish I could remember his name. You know, this is 1989, I think. He said, "You've got this great voice." I was in Las Vegas at the time. So, you know, that was a little weird. I mean, I'm a kid and he was a grown man. But, you know, I was so naive from being from Green Bay. And he said, "You got to get into radio." So a really long story short, he introduced me to Tom Chase, who put me on Sunny 106.5 in Las Vegas.
A better variety of the songs you know and love. Continuous soft hits, Sunny 106.5. And that was Dan Fogelberg and Lonely in Love. Before that, we heard Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It, and Paul Young, Oh Girl. Good morning. We're wrapping up a long 40 minutes of continuous soft hits. I'm Lori Lloyd. And getting a check on
that. And that was my very first gig. So it was kind of like I was just didn't really know what to do with life.
Well, I have to ask you, what were you doing in Vegas?
Oh, well, this is everybody's favorite story. So I didn't know what I wanted to do at 18.
Showgirl Lori?
I was just kind of like living at my parents' house, whatever, drinking. I mean, really not contributing to life. And they were like, you know what? We've got to have a little family meeting. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was just very fun, free spirit. They said, we bought you this one-way ticket. It's to Las Vegas, and you're going to go live with your brother. My brother, Alan, was going to UNLV at the time. And I said, we're so sorry. We're going to miss you. But we're going to have to send you to Vegas to find yourself. And I love my parents. I was like trying to not smile like, oh, mom, dad, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'll miss you too. Sweet. Literally a one-way ticket to Vegas that started my radio career.
Oh, no, Br'er Bear. Don't throw me in the briar patch to find myself. There's worse places you could have been sent.
I know.
So you're there, you're living the life, doing whatever, and somebody heard your voice and said, we got to get you inside a radio station. And that was where your career began. Many people would love to have that start.
It was a random conversation. And he was, you know, he was working for Kino AM and Comp FM. Anybody that's listening to the story, it was a random conversation. But again, it goes back to, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that even though we can't see it, and we can't completely fully understand it, that happened for a reason to get me to where I was supposed to be.
What's your musical preference at heart? I mean, are you a rocker? A country person?
It was rock. And then my boyfriend introduces me to country music, and I swore I would never like it. And so now, kind of, sort of, I mean, you know, the twang gets under my skin. And so I get angry, but, you know, he's laughing. Like, he loves country. It's rock first and foremost.
So the head scratching moment is you're there in Vegas, you know, buying your brother cases of beer for college and everything. And all of a sudden you get introduced to a radio station that's playing Celine Dion and John Secada and Michael Bolton. I mean, what was that like?
But here's a great story to that. So my late father, he was like a yacht rock person before yacht rock was ever popular. Here's why. And this is, it all came together at his passing when we were cleaning out. And it's not a sad story. Yeah, as a kid, you have to sometimes clean out your parents' house. And I found all these cassettes. It was like John Secada, Celine Dion, Billy Ocean. And I was like, holy crap, this is why I secretly like this music. Dad raised us on yacht rock. Think about my first job at Sunny 106.5. But I believe that I loved it because even though I was really, really young and you weren't supposed to like Michael Bolton, I loved it. And I'll always believe it was because it was influenced, you know, on me. So yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad to be spinning Celine Dion.
So it was in your blood, but something happened there. Everybody has their first shift story.
Well, the first shift story, two stories. The first shift story, I still remember, and even with like a shoddy memory, I remember taking a breath, the biggest breath I've ever taken in my life. And I said, Sunny 106.5, soft tits for Las Vegas. We'll get into that in a second. And I said, Rod Stewart, have I told you lately? Speaking of which, GE has just recalled light bulbs or something. Remember back in the day where we had index cards and you had to read public service announcements?
Yeah, yeah.
A better variety of the songs you know and love. Continuous soft hits. The new Sunny 106.5. That was Rod Stewart and Your Song. And you know, General Electric has launched a recall of 9 million coffee makers manufactured between 1976 and 1984. They bear the name of GE or Universal. That's
I did not know how, first, I did not know how to breathe and talk, and I did not know how to segue thoughts. So I went from backselling a song to saying, speaking of which, GE is recalling light bulb. Nothing made sense. And so that's a really bad break. But the tits part is this. Tom Chase calls me on the hotline. And remember, I'm so young and green from Green Bay, naive. He said, you're saying tits on my radio station. I go, oh, no, I would never do that. I promise. And he goes, Laura, you got to roll your tongue. And, you know, just kind of being slightly uneducated from Green Bay. I don't even know what that means. Look, roll your tongue. Yes, you got to say soft hits. And I'm like, soft tits. No, soft hits. And oh.
Wrapping up a long 40 minutes of continuous soft hits. That was Benjamin Orr with Stay the Night. Before that, you heard Eurythmics with Sweet Dreams and Luther Vandross with Here and Now. Good morning. I'm Lori Lloyd. And
to
I'm
this
Ellie
day, Tom Chase laughs about that story. That gave him just a great memory. I eventually learned how to roll my tongue.
How did you hear about this new station in Tampa, Thunder 105? Now, here you are, the rock chick in Mobile, creating good radio. This opportunity comes along, and a market jump that was pretty good, right? Mobile to Tampa. Tell us about that story. And weren't you also one of the original jocks when Thunder 105 signed on?
I was. This is a very important story for anybody to hear, because Greg Gillespie, do you remember that name?
Yes,
absolutely.
He is one person that literally changed the trajectory of my career. He was consulting Rock 104 in Mobile. He called and said, look, we're signing on a small station in Tampa. We have big plans for it. We want you. And we don't know where we're going to put you, but we want you on the air. And I said, oh, I don't know. Because I, like most women, I don't know what our deal is we don't necessarily think that high of ourselves, or we don't believe that we could make that, as you said, that transition from market like 85 to Tampa, I think was 20 at the time. And I said, oh, I don't think I would be good enough. And he hung up on me. And I was like, wait a minute. Like now all of a sudden things change. And so I called back and I was like, did you just hang up on me? And he goes, Lori, I don't have time for this. If you want to be insecure, stay in Mobile. There's nothing wrong with Mobile. I don't have time for this. And it shook me to my core. And as hard as it was, I put an air check together, sent it to him. And the next thing I know, they offered me a job.
Where were you in the lineup? What day part?
7 to midnight. So they had Scotty Phillips in the morning. Scotty had come from KLOL. Was that Houston?
Houston.
And Christy Thomas, she was at 98 Rock Tampa. So they took her off 98 Rock, put her on middays. Bob Walton was the program director, afternoons. Mm-hmm. And then there I was in my little Green Bay accent, 7 to midnight, rocking Tampa.
Thunder, 105.5 North Tampa Bay's classic rock. Mellencamp and his Cougar days. Jack and Diane. Andy Summers, how you doing? Dropping to about 75 tonight, back up to 90 tomorrow. Right now, I'd say it's around 84. Giving away Boston tickets this hour. Be listening to win. Of course, tomorrow night, the big Boston Tea Party at Jaguars. Scotty Phillips, our wet spot, or rather bright spot in the morning, will be your host.
Oh, don't talk like that.
Why?
I'm alone right now.
Oh. Well, nobody can help you but yourself, hon. Cool rock to come.
I did love the double entendre. And I didn't know too much about classic rock because remember, I was early 20s. I had this great book, this like this rock encyclopedia, and I read as much as I could and I took notes. And so I always sounded like I knew what I was talking about. But it was really me being a student of double entendre that would take me to what? The Bubba the Love Sponge show, but also a student of rock and a student of learning how to like fake it until you make it.
Well, you went from Randy to Andy Summers there in Thunder 105.5.
And you talk about the environment, the early 90s, your radio at that time, no AOL, no internet, no texting. It's you, the microphone, and the telephone. I mean, you gave good phone?
Yes, I loved it. I mean, it really was the foundation of my show every night. Somehow, you know, there was this question, like, what are your natural skills when somebody asked that? And it has always been to me to remind people that they matter. Like whether I was 5 or 15 or now 25, I always had that and still have that. And so I just inherently knew to make the listeners the star.
Aircheck, some of radio's greatest stories from some of radio's greatest. Aircheck Season 1 includes episodes with Danny Bonaducci, Nina Blackwood, Neil Mirsky, Eddie Trunk, Cousin Ed, Keith Roth, and a pilot featuring your fearless hosts, Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly. Aircheck Seasons 1 and 2, available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Well, if you listen to the pilot episode of Season 1 of Aircheck, you learned a lot about Paul and I, including the encounters we had with rock stars and movie stars over the years. Some were good, some were bad. We just heard your interesting encounter with Steve Perry. But tell us about this other interview that you secured while you were at Thunder 105 that really made an impact on you.
I had just moved to Tampa. And remember, I was a pretty insecure kid. You wouldn't know it meeting me, but I was a pretty insecure kid. And the whole radio station, program director and the whole staff, everybody was at the radio station the night of the Boston concert in Tampa. And so this had to have been 1995, right? And everybody was like, hey, Brad Delp wants to talk to somebody. So you do the Brad Delp interview because we got to go. We got to get to the concert. First of all, as if Brad Delp is nothing. Like, I was like, that's weird. But second, I still can feel those, I think they call those watershed moments when you can still feel the feeling of being left out, watching the whole team walk away and you go, okay, so you brush it off because you've got to be on air and you put that persona on that we've been talking about. And Brad calls and we talk and we're having a great interview. The minute he says something like, you come into the show, I love this part of me as a kid. I think I said something like, I don't have a ticket, so I'm not going. I was so honest. Most people with their ego, they'd be like, yeah, I'll see you. But they're not really going to be there. I was so honest as a kid. I was like, I don't think so. I don't have a ticket. And Brad Delp, he's like, what do you mean you don't have a ticket? You're going to be my guest. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm going to put a ticket at the will call and backstage, and you're going to hang out with us. You're not going to not come to the show. He was adamant that I mattered. It was fascinating. And I said, well, I don't have any friends. I just moved to Tampa. Come alone. Tom and I will be your friends. Tom Schultz, he means. Okay.
Would you do something for me?
I will try.
One of my favorite all-time rock tunes is More Than a Feeling.
Uh-huh.
Will you hum a little bar?
How about if I whistle it?
No, hum it.
Whistle?
You're a babe, Brad. You really are.
Well, you got to
And if you're ever single, call me.
Well, listen, let's hook up when we get to town.
Well, you're in my
town
now.
You're coming to the show, right?
I'm coming to the show if you guys let me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Will you let me?
Yeah, I hope you're all set.
No, I'm all set, if you guys are. That was Brad Delp, and he's going to hang with me later, but since we're inside Thunder's block...
Oh my gosh, I'm driving to this concert by myself feeling like a loser, the biggest loser on the planet. Look at you. You are a radio DJ, and you have no friends, and you're driving to a concert alone. Like, all of that is just so I get there. Here's the coolest part of life. If you hang in there long enough, you get to have these moments. So I'm backstage. Remember, I'm by myself. I have no friends. I'm feeling like a loser, but I just go anyway. Who walks into the green room? The whole Thunder team, the program director and all of the DJs and their fans, whatever, the girlfriends, the boyfriends, everybody walks in and I'm sitting there. One person says, what are you doing here? And once again, it feeds into my insecurities. It feeds into my, I'm a loser. It feeds into my, I want to start crying, but I stand up and I go, Brad Delp invited me. And right when I say that, here comes Brad and Tom out of backstage into the green room. And they looked at me and they saw Lori. They go, Lori, come with us.
Hi, this is Brad Delp from the group Boston Buttering Andy Summers Muffin on Thunder 105.5.
They completely ignored the whole Thunder 105.5 team, took me backstage and walked me around. It was, guys, I cannot tell you how cool that feeling was. It made me feel like I mattered. And it kind of goes into what I have done in the social space for 12 years is the only thing that you do in the social space is remind people that they matter. You have done your job. And so thank you for letting me tell that story, because it was hurtful when he passed. He played a significant role in me trying to get rid of my insecurities by making me feel like I mattered.
That's a great story. And it reminds me of what Fred Jacobs used to say all the time in his blogs, talking about connecting with the audience. And it could have been, you know, you could have been responsible for this this thought process is, you know, invite your listeners to the radio station, show them the studio, give them the backstage tour, make them feel like they're special and they're a part of what you're doing. And that's pretty much what Brad did for you with Boston that night. And that's awesome.
Which I always ask people that I get to serve, help people feel like they're part of your inner circle. And it doesn't mean it's a 24/7 gig. One little tip of the hat, one little piece of acknowledgement. It lasts. Think about how much I wanted to tell you guys that story. That story happened in 1995, and I still remember it, and it still makes me feel something. You can do something so small, like a tip of the hat, or acknowledging somebody, they will remember it likely for the rest of their lives. And if radio can jump on that, then it'll be an even greater industry.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. Next time you get a call to go down to Florida in the station van to interview Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, give me a call, okay? I'll remember that forever.
Isn't that funny? I mean, even the listener, whatever her name was, I wish I still remembered it, but that van was a piece of crap. I mean, you never knew if you were going to make it to your destination or not, but you don't even think about it, you know, in your 20s. You're like, let's get in the Rock 104 van and go. That was a great memory.
Do you miss being on the air?
No, not at all. Do you guys?
I miss hearing you on the air just listening to your audio here. I wish I had somebody to listen to like this.
I don't. I grew out of it. Did you guys? I grew out of it.
No.
You love it.
I'm still a geek. Sorry.
You know, it still gives me the same thrill it always has, you know, being in that studio, turning that mic on and you know, fortunately, you know, formats are formats. You don't get to choose it. But fortunately for Paul and I, we're working at a radio station that we get to play our favorite music, you know. So to connect with that music as a lifestyle and then also be part of the lifestyle of the audience and try to connect with them on that level, it's like I'm not working. And Paul probably feels the same way. The job is driving to the radio station. But once I'm there, I feel at home. I feel like I'm with my friends. And I'm listening to our favorite music and trying to connect with them as much as possible in the studio. And, you know, once COVID passes and we can start doing things in person, you know, that's going to make it even better. Hopefully, you know, we're able to do that soon. But, you know, those 4 hours, 5 hours in the studio, I look forward to it every single week.
So there you are on Thunder 105.5, your nights, 7 to midnight, brand new rock station, classic rock station for the Bay Area. You come on the air 7 to midnight for all the lonely men in the evening that love their classic rock, and you ask them to butter your muffin.
You want Santana? Tonight you're going to have to butter my muffin for it, okay?
We love you. We are thanking God every day as we wake up that you have hit our airwaves. The station is just a small part of what we're thankful for. It is you we are truly grateful for.
Is that worth it? I suppose so. There you go, guy, from Thunder 105.5.
I honestly, if it's okay to say, I don't even remember how that persona, I don't even remember building up that Andy Summers persona. It just came about.
Well, something else that used to happen in the nighttime there, maybe other places too, Bark For Me.
Goodness. The Wilson Babes to Come, also a great classic from Elton John. You want to bark for me? You may.
Okay, Chihuahua, huh? Let's see. Little tiny dog. How's that?
A well-respected man you are.
Yes, mistress.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Getting kinky with the Kinks. Thunder. 105.5.
Rich and I are on all fours right now.
I don't even know what to say. Like, remember this. You don't even know you're about, you know, like, I think about my daughter. Like, oh, my God. if, you know, my daughter will say, hey, what was your name on 98 Rock? Nothing, nothing. There was no name. She doesn't even know about the bark for me.
Well, obviously they're radio days, but some of the fun things that happened and some of the different things that happened that aren't happening now because of pandemic and shutdown, and the radio company that you worked for at the time, J-Core Communications or Clear Channel, owned, you know, Thunder 105.5 there in Tampa, always put a slant on something as simple as a golf outing. The golf outing became the zipper open.
The zipper open. Oh my God, this is hilarious.
Smoking crack and getting drunk. I need a wad. We've got Metallica and Aerosmith to come. You got dirty balls hanging around your house. Lick them off and join the first annual Butt with a Love Sponge Zipper Open. It's going to be Sunday, November 9th at the Rivard Golf and Country Club. You can plan your foursome now. Start saving for your personal caddy, which is courtesy of the Dollhouse. Nude caddies. Just pick up a registration at the 98 Rock Studios, the Dollhouse, or Platted Bubba. It's from the station with the biggest wood on the course, 98.
You know, the first vision that came to mind is we would have strippers sitting at the holes with their legs spread open.
Spread eagle.
Yes! Oh, my Lord. I can't even believe that I was associated with that. Like, I'm all pristine now.
You know, I was going to ask you about looking back at Crossroads and Lessons Learned, but I think we just kind of covered that.
Look, I had so much fun. I mean, I got to tell you, it was so inappropriate and so out of control that I do believe, you know what? I think you guys would agree with this. The coolest thing about getting older is if somebody judges you for something you did in your 20s, it's, you know what, then go, okay. Hey, I love that you brought that up. It made me laugh that hard. I didn't even remember the zipper open until you brought that up. And I laugh hard, and you gotta laugh hard. Life is so weird right now. But there's a lot, like, we would do, oh my gosh, can I say this? Toys for Tits.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. We would broadcast live from a strip bar, and if you brought a toy, a stripper would show you her breast.
One or two?
I think both.
It was a 2-for-1 deal. Got it.
Oh my gosh. If I really took time to think back to the stuff that we did, it was just classic. But here, I give this question back to you guys. Should radio be able to go back to those days, or were those days so inappropriate that we should never do it again?
Well, that was the question we wanted to fire at you after this.
I would love it, but I don't. We've got such a cancel culture going on right now.
That's the problem.
I mean, you do Toys for Tits, and all of a sudden, the radio station loses its license. And it's too bad because, guys, everything that we did was fun and innocent. Nobody ever got hurt, right? Like, one of the coolest things about all of us that were a part of the Bubba the Love Sponge show is that people mattered. And we always reminded the audience that they mattered. And we gave audience members names. We had a guy who had brain damage. So his name was Drain Bramage, and he smoked a bowl every morning. And we made Drain Bramage a star just by the sound of him smoking a bowl. And we had Medicine Man, and just this dude that looked like this, you know, this interesting Indian type guy. And he always showed up, and he became a star. The coolest thing about shows like Bubba's is that people were reminded that they mattered. And it's too bad that we can't do that stuff today, because there were a whole lot of people that had nicknames and that showed up at our events and that called the show every morning or every other morning. It was a community. And radio sits there and talks about community all the time, but I don't see it happening the way it happened how we did it in the 90s.
This is an Aircheck Rewind, Season 2, Debbie Calton.
I ended up staying in Philadelphia for 36 years, which is amazing to me, because Philadelphia can be tough, you know, on newcomers. You know, the fact that I was embraced over the years by tried and true, dyed-in-the-wool Philadelphians, you know, really meant so and still means so much to me.
Aircheck, a podcast about radio's personality from Radio Personalities, Season 1 and 2, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also listen on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Aircheck Podcast, or OK, Google, play Aircheck Podcast.
So you're building a pretty good resume of markets and call letters at this point, not to mention being part of a nationally known radio show with Bubba. But then you decide to make that jump into programming. And someone with the foundation of your drive, I see you as a person that is always thinking, always planning and strategizing. But at what point did you start to think about how to increase that connection to your audience? I mean, radio was the first social media, right? The break is the social media post. The request line is the engagement. And the ratings are the like or the share. And when you decided to go into programming, this was back in the early 2000s. And, you know, we didn't have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We only had email and AOL Instant Messenger and MySpace. So talk about that trajectory and your philosophy, moving from on-air to programming, and then perhaps planting the seed to what you're doing today with Lori Lewis Media.
I love this question, and I will be as brief as possible. When I wanted to become a program director, I knew that the Bubba the Love Sponge show, again, lightning in a bottle, not to say it again, I knew my on-air career, that was as good as it was going to get. Those were crazy, messy, funny, wild times. Nothing was going to top that. And so my love for radio, I had two choices: stay on air and always kind of think back, or grow. So I asked Clear Channel, would you teach me how to be a program director? And this is how open Clear Channel was to me, at least with my experience. And so they did. And soon into becoming a program director, it wasn't what I wanted. I couldn't believe that a flawed methodology, and I say this with respect, I couldn't believe a flawed methodology was dictating kind of sort of my competency. They were telling me in a month where I had all kinds of marketing happening and trip a day getaway and all that, you know, big 50,000 people left my radio station. But then the next month when nothing's happening, no marketing, no promotions, no contests, no nothing, oh, they came back. So as that was happening, Rich, digital was coming to play. John Hogan says, look, I want you to think of that you have a website and you just happen to own a radio station. Maybe that was wrong in hindsight, but I love anybody who just puts themselves out there and offers a different way of thinking. And so I did. And that's where it became my future. I loved that if I hid Robin Thicke tickets on my radio station's website and I asked my afternoon jock to say, hey, look, we just hid tickets. If you click around and you find them, the first person to find the tickets wins them. And I would sit back and watch how many people would log on to the website after she said that. And I was fascinated. The numbers weren't weighted. It was real. Sometimes with some artists, nobody would log on and you would go, whoa, I'm playing this artist and nobody gives a shit about winning tickets. Mm-hmm. But then other artists like Alicia Keys. So I started getting fascinated with it, so much so that I knew I had to be honest with myself. And in 2008, it was my opportunity. There were a couple of mass layoffs that Clear Channel had. I was part of the first round. And it's so humbling to say, because your ego wants to be like, I was one of the last. I was one of the first. You know, there was the election day. Remember that in 2009, there was the massive election day. Well, no, there was actually a day before Memorial Day 2008 where there was a massive let go, but nobody ever remembers that. I was part of that. I had the opportunity right then and there, and I'll always believe this was the grace of God. My house sold right before the housing market crashed, and it was the biggest house on the block. Clear Channel was so generous to me. You know, I was with the company for 15 years. They were so kind to me financially. I had that going for me. I sold my house instantly. I said, this is your opportunity, Lori. You either go down the rabbit trail of, you know, okay, take a job in programming in Grand Rapids, Michigan, get fired in 2 years and then go somewhere else. Or you could have the balls to go back home to Green Bay and study what's happening. Something's happening with Facebook and Twitter. I don't even understand what it is. As a Gen Xer, I have disdain for taking pictures of ourselves and putting them online. I have disdain for promotion. As Gen Xers, that's how we're built. We're angry. It was, you have to figure this out or you're going to age yourself out of a career.
There's something to be said about going home. It does give you that more confidence to decide because of, you know, that baked in support group that you're going to have back there. In an earlier session with Cousin Ed from Philadelphia, we talked to him about when he was let go from a radio station. He was getting offers from other cities to continue his career, but him and his wife decided not to go because of the lack of support system there if it didn't work. So I totally get what you're talking about. But looking back on that crossroads, would you say at the time it was an unpredictable kind of moment. I mean, you look back at it now and it makes sense that you took that path. But at the time, were you still kind of battling that inside as to whether or not it's something you should do? Or did it feel like all the ducks were in a row for you to make the jump?
I love the question because I was scared to death. I had my mentors. I remember talking to Jim Ryan in New York. He was my mentor at Clear Channel running LTW in New York. And I remember looking up to him and he said, if you leave Baltimore for Green Bay, you're going to destroy your career. I stopped and I went, well, then I'm going to have to destroy my career. I was so scared, but I was so determined. My program director days were behind me. That's one of the hardest parts that I try to share when I mentor kids today is do what scares the shit out of you. Because I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to work. I just knew being a program director didn't work.
Well, and failures help you succeed, right? I mean, you can't succeed unless you fail.
Yes. And that was, even though it was a downsize, I still looked at it as a failure because I'm honest with myself. If I was good enough, I would not have been downsized. So say they had 8 program directors. I would have been one of the 4 that they kept. So it's important to be honest with yourself. I had to be honest with myself. I went, okay, I didn't make the cut. What's next?
So let's talk about that opportunity you took in Green Bay when you went back home.
It's a great story. So I meet with Jeff McCarthy, who is the senior vice president of programming for Midwest Communications. And he said, Lori, I can find you a station to run. We would love. And I said, I actually want to get into the digital space. I don't want to be a program director. And that was, again, scary to say. Because I thought that was my path, right? On air to PD. And he said, let me get you an interview with Duke, the owner of the company. After about an hour interview, Duke, what a great man. I wish you guys could meet him one day. What a great radio operator, owner, and man. He says, Lori, I have no clue what you just talked about, but you're so excited, I can't not hire you. So Michael, his son, Michael, get her an office. And I had to make up my title. I had to make up the description. Remember, it's 2008, but Duke Wright gave me the opportunity to cut my teeth in the digital and social space.
I am the president of... So just talking about a couple of these hops, I mean, Tampa Bay, the Chesapeake Bay of Baltimore, Green Bay, the industry starts to eye up Lori Lewis and says, we got somebody who's got something going on here that we need to get our hands on to. And you ended up working with the folks at Rock Radio Consultants, Jacobs Media, the folks there loved you, and the folks at Cumulus Media, who's a radio company that owns a couple hundred radio stations around the country, you caught their attention, so you ended up there. And, you know, what was it like making these hops? I mean, your confidence level from this position that you invented, graciously they let you do it, and then boom, the industry says, this girl invented something that is really hot and happening, going from a media consultant to a larger radio group in the country. The confidence level that must have come along the way. Folks at Jacobs help you with that?
100%. Ask anybody that knows me intimately. I am somewhat of a bit insecure person. And who knows where that comes from, because I was raised by 3 great people.
I'm finding that hard to believe after listening to Thunder 105.5 and 98 Rock.
It's that persona, you know, it's that persona that you kick in. And perhaps that's why those of us that get into radio is we get to put a persona on. Nobody knows that I'm an introvert, and I kind of like this quarantine stuff, right? Because I don't have to see people. But it's the radio allows us to have that persona. So here's what happens. This is how God has the most amazing sense of humor. Fred and Paul Jacobs reach out in 2011. Hey, look, clients are starting to ask about social media. We don't have answers. We follow you on Twitter. You seem to kind of know what you're talking about. Would you be interested? And so we get together. I don't know that public speaking is part of this gig. I wish you guys could have seen. The first time I spoke was actually ironically at Conclave. And I'm like, So like, if you look up at the screen and I'm shuffling my feet and I'm sweating and people are staring at me and I know I'm letting down the Jacobs brothers, I'm like, oh shit, my life is over. I had to find it within myself to just get that persona back. The same persona, like what you were alluding to with, you know, how I was on air, like on Thunder and stuff. I had to learn how to create a new persona for public speaking. because those of us that are a bit introverted and insecure and are only kind of happy with just a few people around us, you have to pick up that persona. And so I did. And it just, again, like, just start cooking with gas. Like, all right, here we go. I could speak, and I didn't care if people didn't like it. I didn't care if people were crossing their arms. It's almost like when I would start publicly speaking and I got into it, and people would sit in the front row and cross their arms and stare at me. It's almost like I got off on that. Like, oh yeah, you know what, buddy? I'm going to be the best that I've ever been because of you. And you just, again, you pick up that persona. So Jacobs Media, I loved it. I never would have left, but it was Lou Dickey who recruited me. And what a great guy he is. Lou Dickey was the founder and CEO of Cumulus Media, and then had eventually bought Westwood One. And a lot of people try to say disparaging things about Lou, but I have to tell you, maybe his brothers, yeah. But Lou, Lou is just one of that salt of the earth people. And when he said, I want to give you just like this blank canvas, and I want to see what you can do with social media for a big corporation. It wasn't necessarily an ego move, guys. It was, he's legitimizing the role of VP of social media for the industry. No other company had done it before Lou. And he was giving, not me, he was giving social media a seat at the corporate table. I was about to sit there. Nobody cared about social media because they don't use it. And you can't value what it is you don't understand. So I was the girl among all these older white guys, right? And I was intimidated. But again, I put on that persona that we were talking about. And I refused to be intimidated. And so I just sat there. It didn't go the way planned, because here's a piece of advice for everybody. When the CEO, founder of a company, recruits you and gives you a contract, they too can get fired. I didn't know that. I was like, I didn't read the contract. I was just so happy. I was like, okay, I'm being hired by the CEO. I'm going to report to the CEO. I'm not going to read the contract. Read contracts. Because I didn't know 6 months into it, who would be gone. And then it didn't really go as well as planned. But that is the only reason why I left Jacobs, was to show the industry that the role of VP of social media is needed.
The saying goes, necessity is the mother of invention. You get that far, here comes Lori Lewis, puts the shingle out there, Lori Lewis Media. Tell us about it.
So I think I was drunk, right? Like, because who would do this? Who would do this during a pandemic? It kind of reminds me, if we can go back 1 second to 2008, when I left day-to-day programming to evolve into the social and digital space. Isn't it funny that, or weird, not even necessarily funny, that a recession was following me? I was like, oh, I have this great idea. I'm going to leave what I know. I'm going to leave all my skill sets, and I'm going to go over here. And months later, a recession followed me. And that was tough, but I was with a great company. So I was fine. Fast forward, 2019, November, I said, you know what? I don't know if I can stomach another corporate meeting. It's really tough to be in that creative mindset, to understand the value of social media, how it builds on brand strength, and brand strength drives value. Brand strength can drive your bottom line. You know that, but nobody else knows that. So I had the brilliant idea, November 2019, you know what? Give up on corporate, go out on your own. What follows? A pandemic. But through the grace of God, everything has been great. I can tell you this, I will always cherish the clients I have today are my first clients, and I will always cherish them, because it's not just their belief in me, but they teach me every day. When you start a company, you don't know what you don't know, and you learn every day how to best serve people, how to take care of people. One thing that nobody ever told me in all the conversations I had with entrepreneurs and mentors, when you are starting out on your own, maybe building your own company, are the highs and lows. And you have to learn how to manage the highs. On Monday, you get a new client. On Tuesday, a different client has to pause the relationship. Wednesday, you find out somebody can't pay their bill for another 60 days. But then on Thursday, you get hired to do something. The highs and lows of creating and building your own dream have to learn to be managed. That's one thing I didn't know that I wish I would have.
I know you could help a nitwit like me out with this podcast, and I'm not going to call Rich a nitwit, but anyway. we would love to have you help us along the way here, but Rich knows, and I know there are obstacles along the way. Rich, you know, phrase some of that to Lori as we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious to you, and you've made many strides to convince others, that social media will and needs to play a role of engagement in radio and many other industries for that matter. You take things that go viral, for an example. It's such an organic phenomenon when it happens, right? But it adds so much value, like the Ocean Spray lip-syncing skateboarder. That increased awareness and sales, not only the cranberry juice, but the Fleetwood Mac's music as well. Or even Charmin's retweet earlier this year to Dr. Pepper about their soda shortage, where Charmin said, "Hey, we understand." I recently read in an interview that you did where you laid out a conversation you had with a radio executive in the early days of Facebook or so, where you were talking about the importance of social media in radio. And their response to you was, "Hey, I've got a radio station to run. Don't talk to me about this Facebook stuff." You fast forward now in this audio on demand world that we live in, and I'd be interested to hear your reaction if a program director today responded the same way about podcasting. I'm a little biased, but to me, audio on demand and podcasting is just another great tool for radio to extend the reach of the brand, their clients' brands, and to build upon that community that you talk about so eloquently with the audience. So yeah, I'd love to know what your take on podcasting is in the radio space.
I love the question, and the answer is very succinct. When we're not where the audience is, we give them permission to build loyalties elsewhere. So I don't care if you only have 100 of your 1,000 fans, only 100 are in a podcast. You're not into podcasting. You're not giving them what they want. You're giving them permission to form loyalties elsewhere. They are going to find a podcast, whether you podcast or not. They are going to find somebody to interact with on Instagram, whether you Insta or not. And that is, you learn early on, Rich, you let go. You let go of the people that are going to yab at you to death. And you say that one line. And that is, when we're not where our audience is, we give them permission to build loyalties elsewhere. And it's as simple as that. If you're not doing what any part of the audience wants, you're allowing them to go, okay, well, I'll still hang out with you on the radio, I guess, or I'll still hang out with you on Twitter, I guess, but I really like podcasts. So I'm going to go have to find some other podcast. It's missed opportunity. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. You fish where the fish are, right? That's the old saying, right?
And it doesn't matter. Like, one thing that Jacobs Media does really, really well, I shouldn't say one thing, because I love them. I mean, Fred and Paul are my mentors. But one of the many things Jacobs Media does really well is the tech survey. And they show you where the audience is. What was really interesting for me being on the inside and watching this, our audience, as you guys already know, it's so fragmented. It's not just about the mothership, the FM AM stick anymore. Maybe I listen in the morning and then I take a podcast with me to lunch and then I interact on social media and then I ask Alexa to play my favorite radio station when I get home. The audience is so fragmented. You have got to find a way. Winners find a way to be everywhere that they can.
Aircheck Season 2 is here. Who thought this would happen? I know I didn't. Aircheck Season 1 includes episodes featuring Nina Blackwood, Eddie Trunk, Danny Bonaducci, and more. Aircheck Season 1, available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This is Lori Lewis, and you're listening to Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly on Aircheck Podcast.
With the powers of Lori Lewis, I mean, you have recessions that follow you. I'm going to take a guess that maybe you've got some crystal ball powers. What can you tell us about 2021?
2021, this is what I hope, guys. I hope, first and foremost, that unpolished is the new polished. For the first time in a long time, I'm not too hung up on what I look like when I do Zooms and pictures. I think I've done away with most makeup. I stopped doing Botox. I have learned through so many Facebook and Instagram lives that I've done with talent and radio stations and podcasters that I serve is unpolished is the new polished. I hope that the days of putting your hair together and looking so put together are gone. I hope, you know, it's something that stems from working from home. And all of us have started wearing like sweatpants. Like I have sweatpants. So first and foremost, crystal ball. I do hope that this unpolished that everybody has come to accept now is going to be accepted in 2021, and especially in the social media space. So do you guys like that answer first?
I like that answer. I also need to help out some of the people that are going to be listening to this that don't know who Lori Lewis is, but they've been enjoying the interview so far. And many radio people are in radio because they have radio faces. They don't have TV faces. Lori has a TV face, and Lori looks like Catherine Bach, Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard. So unpolished is... you know, that's okay because she's beautiful anyway. And
I love she's been... my ego likes that. I do hope that brands understand that you have a limited amount of time to remind people that they matter and to care. You have to invest in the fans first before the fans will invest in your brand long term. Build loyalty. So I do hope one thing that comes from 2020 into 2021 is that, I hate saying this word, but we will create more authentic content, that we will start showing up. We will rely less on the low-hanging memes, and we will actually create fun and funny stuff. We will learn how to fail fast, meaning when we do stuff and it didn't work, stop it. Just don't even think about it. Don't overthink it. Stop it, pivot, do something else. I hope that 2020 has taught us that really we are built for human interaction. And if we can't even have that in 2021, that people will learn how to leverage social media to connect with one another on a deeper level than the stuff that I'm seeing right now. I mean, it's so interesting, the question that you ask, because I remember, I think every year for many, many years, people would say, what do you see for social media in the next year? And it would always be like, well, emojis are big, GIFs are big, disappearing content's big. Remember when Snapchat was rising? They didn't call it stories back then. I called it disappearing content. So it was always every year after year after year, it was easy to kind of guess, like, hey guys, I think this is where social's going, disappearing content, this and that. What I appreciate about 2020, as much as this year has been bullshit, right? My hope is that the crystal ball for 2021 is more real, more raw, reminding consumers that they matter, doing things, creating content, paying attention to data, paying attention to audience signals. What do people even interact with? And caring about that. I can't stand when I see radio stations post crap on social media day after day after day. Nobody touches it, but they don't care. That is the ultimate in your face to the listeners. Study what people interact with. Study what triggers reaction and create more of that stuff.
LoriLewisMedia.com is the website. We've got people listening to this that are in radio, but people that are not in radio, but are podcast advocates and have the interest, and they may reach out to you at LoriLewisMedia.com. Lori, I have to say thank you. This was wonderful for me. I wish I could hear you on the radio, just like I'm heard here today. But again, thank you very much.
Yeah, Lori, it's been a great time discussing the past, your past, all the fun that you had, even the ones you don't remember, even the fun you don't remember. Reminiscing about radio and the way it was, and you know, and how it's going to morph into what it will be in the coming years, and to be able to to be able to hear your perspective, I think it rings true, and there's a lot of weight behind it, and we really appreciate you offering that with us here at AirCheck. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'll leave you with this, that we have, I'm sorry, can you hear my head of security?
Yeah, Paul's head of security was in the podcast too, yeah. It's okay, don't worry about it.
I'm going to start over.
You talked about being authentic, right? And less polished, so there you go.
I'll leave you with this one thing. Radio has to go where it has to go. There's no reason for any of us to be upset if massive consolidation and syndication is where our future is. What every radio talent has right now is the ability to create and sustain their own future with what you're doing, with podcasting, with social media, how you can build an audience. You don't even necessarily need an email database from your radio station. What I'm doing for a handful of morning shows right now, Rich, is these are morning shows that are heritage, and they're worried about not getting re-signed because revenue is so off because of COVID. And a little bit because of traditional media. So what we're doing is building their online empire. Don't spend your whole career building this base of terrestrial radio listeners when you have podcasting and social media and you have video right there in the palm of your hands. My hope is that talent who are listening right now understand that they are in control of their future, and it is not to be cliche. Do what you guys are doing. Start with a podcast, start with a great Facebook Live, whatever it is you're comfortable with, but get in it, get in the game, and don't leave yourself out because radio has to go where radio's going.
Lori Lewis, fun, passionate, entertaining.
Simply the best at anything she does. And, you know, when you can get your listeners to bark for you.
Aircheck Session 2 continues. Our next episodes include Aircheck Sessions with radio group owner and Country Radio Hall of Famer, Kirby Confer, and the creator of the classic rock radio format, media consultant Fred Jacobs. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/aircheckme. Say hi, tell us what you think, or if you have a favorite episode.
You can stream or download every episode of Aircheck on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, and you can also ask your smart speaker to play Aircheck Podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe and also give us a great rating, too.
This is Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Appreciate you sitting in for this episode of Aircheck, a podcast about radio's personality from Radio Personalities. We're into season 2 and more on the way for you. Got questions, comments, or want to be on an upcoming episode? Email aircheckme@gmail.com. Musical props go to Chris Gordon. Announcer props, that's me, Greg O'Brien, the OB. Aircheck seasons 1 and 2 available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also listen on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Aircheck Podcast. Or, OK, Google, play Aircheck Podcast. Aircheck is the creation of RDPK Productions.